Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
I have a word from the Lord for this church. I've been praying for you, and I felt I wanted to read a couple of scriptures, so I'm going to do that. Psalm 112 says, "How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands, for their children will be successful everywhere, and a generation of godly people will be blessed, and they themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. For light shines in darkness for the godly." And what the Lord's saying to me about this church is that there's wealth of generations. When Pastor Barry said that you're celebrating 61 years, I thought back to the day that we stood at the funeral of the woman that planted this church, and she was buried in her four-square uniform with eight leaders in the community in Calgary, one of which was a rabbi, and pastors and leaders were her pallbearers. And what an honor to see that such a godly woman had established this church in the beginning, and with sacrifice. I remember hearing the story that she had saved money. They had saved money to finally buy a car, and then the Lord spoke to them to purchase the first church in Bridgeland for this church from that money. And so they put the money that they would have put into a car into the building. And so the Lord kept saying to me as we were in worship, the wealth of generations is in this church. And though you do not look right now like that is a great wealth, what the Lord is saying is that he has established this church. He has established this church in suffering and in prayer and in the faithfulness of generations. And so there is going to be a fruit that comes from this church that you cannot dream about. And that's why I felt like the Lord wanted me to speak on believing for the impossible, because we have seen that in Calgary. And I really, the Lord kept, while we were worshiping, he kept reminding me of my backyard. And in my yard, I have roses. And in the roses, everybody knows, if you've ever cared for a rose, that you cut them down to nothing in the winter, like nothing. I hate that part of that pruning. In fact, I tried to avoid it the first few years with my roses, and they turned out miserably. And so you cut them back to where there's nothing but a nub in the ground, and you think, what have I done? And then all of a sudden, new growth starts to spring forth, and those roses are bigger and better than they were the year before, because you were faithful to prune back. And I believe that's what the Lord has done with this church, that there's been a season of pruning back, and those that have watched the pruning have thought, oh dear God, is it ever going to grow again? Is there ever going to be life again? And what God is saying to you today is, just like those roses, there's been a season of pruning, but the Lord says it has been done because there is going to be greater growth. And though you sit in a season right now of going, oh dear God, what have we done? What has happened? The Lord says he wants you to know that the roots of this church, the roots of this church are strong and good, and that you sit on the wealth of generations who have cried out, who have asked God to move in this city through this church, and he has heard that cry, and he is going to be faithful to that cry, and that there is going to be growth in the future, that you go, look what came of all those years of pruning. We could not have imagined it. And I felt strongly that was the word of the Lord to you today. You sit on the wealth of generations, and though there has been a season of pruning, there is going to be a day of victory and a day of growth where you will stand back and say, wow, am I ever glad we went through that pruning? Because look at what we are now. Praise God. Praise God. And Lord, we just pray that you will establish your word, and that God, you will also be faithful to your word to this church, oh God. We just thank you for this Calgary church. We thank you for the Cornerstone church, God, we thank you for the wealth and the history and the tears that have gone on for this church. And we just declare growth and fruitfulness for your kingdom and for your glory. That, Lord, you will indeed once again bring them into a place where they are in a forefront place in this city, where they are in a forefront place where people around the world can say, look what God has done. And as a result of faithful, faithful prayers, in Jesus' name, amen. I think it's amazing to be here at this building at Heritage because, sadly, I feel like I'm still very young, but I remember when Heritage Christian School was a prayer and a dream, and we prayed and prayed and prayed for buildings for this school. Our children started in this school when they were young, and I remember us renting facilities and praying that there would be a facility someday in Calgary that would be Heritage Christian School. So as we drove up today, I was like, yes, God, what a great answer to prayer. What a great answer to prayer that it has hung in all these years. Because I don't want to tell you how long ago my kids attended this school, but it was a while. But it's exciting. It's exciting. So I'm believing God for great things. I want to talk to you about believing the impossible. And I have a couple of quick pictures. One, the first one is when Grady and I first brought our baby boy to the church. I think this was the day of his dedication. That's my cousin John with the great hair standing next to us that we had the privilege of leading to Christ. But Chris was born in this church. When we first came to the Calgary church, I was pregnant, newly pregnant with Chris. I think I spent the entire lunch with the elders in the bathroom getting sick because I was, you know, at that wonderful stage of pregnancy. And then Chris was born and dedicated in this church. We are en route to Duncan on this trip because Chris is turning, and it's going to be hard for you to believe because I'm only 42, but Chris is turning 45 this summer, which is a big shock to us. And he lives now in Duncan, BC, so we're on our way there to see him. But this is us when we started at the Calgary Church, and this is me. This picture is me when we first started. I think that might have been one of our first Sundays. And I can remember saying, you know, I'm not the preacher in this family. I am not the speaker. And what I want to tell you is that was because I had taken on a false identity. I had taken on an identity born of pain, of growing up feeling very insignificant. My father died just before my 8th birthday, and the way I heard my father die was, other than the scream in the living room from my mom, and someone walked into our bedroom where my brother and I were. My brother was 4 and I was 7, just barely coming to be 8 soon. And she looked at me and said, your brother just lost his father. And so that spoke to me that I had no significance, I had no value. My brother just lost his dad. And it was my dad too, but in Sicilian culture, we just didn't have a lot of value in women. And so I immediately felt I had no value. And so I had taken on a false identity. And I thank God for the Calgary Church, because not only did we raise our kids here, but we grew up here. We grew up here. And we grew into the identity of who God saw us as. And I thank God for the people of Calgary, because you guys let me grow up. And you let me come into my destiny and into what the fulfillment of my calling was. And I had to break off an old way of thinking and begin to see into the spirit of what God wanted to do through me. And Grady's right, we've had the privilege of speaking in many countries now, and I think of the things that I would have missed. But one of the greatest ones was that a few years later, much years later, after we'd left Calgary, Barry and a few of the pastors had invited me to come back and speak at a youth event in Airdrie, because there had been multiple suicides in the city. They wanted to do something together in the churches to bring about a revival amongst the youth, because there'd been suicides in Airdrie. And they brought me in, and I'm like, you know, in my 40s, and anybody that knows working with teenagers, you can't get a teenager to do anything you want them to do. And so they bring me in, and I'm praying my guts out, you know, God, just move. And I get on the stage, I start to take this altar call, nobody's moving. And I'm like, please, God. And I can see at the back of the room, pastors pacing, praying for God to move. And I'm like, please, God. And then I realized, you know what? I don't have to move until these kids move. So I'm not going anywhere. So I stood there taking this altar call. Finally, one lone kid walks up. I almost leapt out of my skin and ran down and kissed her. But I, you know, controlled myself. But this kid comes up. And when she came up, the altars flooded. And kids were getting saved. And I was in shock, really, because I knew it was born of these pastors praying. But the next day I was at a woman's meeting, and a woman came up to me and said, I am so grateful you were there yesterday, because my daughter, who we've been praying for, has been on drugs, got saved at that altar last night. And I thought, had I stayed in that mindset that I'm not the preacher, oh, the things I would have missed. Oh, the places I would have missed. Oh, all the things that God wanted to do would I have missed if I'd stayed in a locked-in mindset of what God can and will do through me instead of believing for the impossible. Because I know how little I gave God. I'm so grateful He listened to me, listened to my cry, my heart, and knew better than me and brought me on to the destiny. So I want to talk to you today. First of all, in Luke 1, 36 through 38, it says, for with God nothing is ever impossible. No word from God shall ever be without the power or the without power or impossible of fulfillment. It means that whatever word God has spoken, He is able to bring it about. And so we hold on to unbelievable promises. We hold on to things that we go, I don't know how you're going to bring this about, God. But He does it because no word from His mouth can be without His ability to bring it to pass. And so in Hebrews it says, oh, and I put there, if you're looking on your notes on your phone, I guess in church you're only allowed to look on your phone if you're on your notes, okay, if you're reading the notes. If you're looking on Facebook or any other social media, shame on you. No, I'm kidding. Nobody knows where you're looking, but I guess the notes here are on your, on the app. But it says, faith is a potent force proven by the Lord's declaration that faith can move mountains. It stands strong and triumphs over impossibilities. In these difficult days, in these dark days, we do not throw away the assurance that remains unshaken under the pressures of trials and persecutions. We stand strong in the faith of God and what He can do. I was telling Pastor Barry that we have a wooden church. Our church was built, it's 90 years old, our building. And it's like having a 90-year-old woman. It has a lot of things we have to put makeup over to make it still, you know, but it's a beautiful little building. It's just a gorgeous little building. But during COVID, we got wind from the police that Antifa and the BLM were going to have a thing near our, they were actually going to walk past our church, and they were setting up, at the time, they were planting bricks. They were having trucks deliver bricks along the side of the road and things that they would throw at the buildings. And so to destroy them, and in our staff meeting, we said, well, we're not going to let anybody destroy that church. We know. So we stood on the front of our church, a group of us, including a former mayor, we stood there praying while BLM and all of them were marching past our building. We stood there praying and praying for them, praying for the police, praying a blessing on our city, and we saw God move in mighty ways. So when we go through difficult times, we don't lose hope in who we call upon. It isn't, we don't deal with things in the flesh, we deal with things in the spirit. And our building, thank God, stayed strong. We prayed for, they had police on the buildings around us. We prayed over them. We waved to them, which we probably shouldn't have, but we did. I think they were supposed to be hiding. But we didn't care. We're like, hey, there's the police. We're praying for you. But we have a steadfast faith that sees both the present blessings and the hope for a glorious eternity. And that's what we put our hope in, is that someday we'll stand before the Lord and hear him say, well done, you did a good job. You did the best with what I gave you. And so in Hebrews it says, so we don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings, patience, endurance, patient endurance. That's what you need right now. That's what you need, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive what he has promised. You will receive when you patiently endure. We don't give up. For in just a little while, the coming one will come, and he will not delay. We all sense the Lord's return. And my righteous ones will live by faith, but I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away, or those who lose faith in the midst of difficult times. I take no pleasure in that. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are, and this is the declaration of this church, we are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. So what does the first step of believing look like? First of all, you're going to think this is odd, but the first step in being a person who believes for the impossible is understanding the value of repentance in your life. Repentance is a continual renewing of your mind toward the things of God, his truth, his ways, his power. That's what repentance really is. It's a continual changing of your mind into his mind. The problem with a lot of us is we say, yeah, I repented in 1972 when I came to Christ, or 1989, I repented. But having a relationship with God means daily repentance. I don't know about you guys, but I can't come into the presence of a holy God without repenting, because I'm keenly aware when I'm in the presence of God how great he is and how much mercy he has toward me and all my shortcomings. And so I often stand before the Lord daily and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for the places where I fail. Forgive me for still having that in my heart. Forgive me for dealing with that in my life. Change my heart into your heart. That is the only way that we can really draw near to God, because it says he resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And so when we humble ourselves before the Lord, we say, God, forgive me. We can never underestimate the power of forgiveness and repentance in our life. We have to be people who know how to repent. We have recovery groups that meet in our church, and one of the first things in any recovery group is acknowledging, you know, you're not God and you can't change your life. Why? Because often we are so bound in pride and in our sin, we refuse to acknowledge that we have a problem. And so that's what repentance does. Repentance says, I have a problem. I can't change, God, without you. And so I think it's important that we have a heart, because that's exactly what it said there in Romans 10:38. My righteous ones are going to live by faith. We live by faith every day. Faith in God's mercy and his grace in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of the things that we are failures. I always say I have a lot of mercy for people because I demand a lot of mercy. I need mercy. And so I always say, you know, I've got mercy for you because, man, I need it. I'm not perfect. Someplace I will fail you, definitely, because I'm flesh. But I thank God that he can see my imperfection and continue to use me. And in 2 Peter it says, for the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness. And I'll tell you, sometimes when you're waiting on the fulfillment of a promise from God, it's like, you know, Lord, I love Chuck Gerard from Love Song, gave us a great quote when talking about provision. He said, you know, God is never late in his provision, but he's missed a lot of great opportunities to be early. And he has, you know. But he is patient toward you, wishing that any would perish, but all would reach repentance. That's God's heart for us. He wants us all to understand the value of repentance in our life. So that's where having a walk of faith starts, is learning to be a good repenter. And then Mark says, if you believe all things are possible. Now, I wanted to tell you about this story. So in the midst of seemingly impossible situations, where the disciples tried to cast a mute spirit out of a boy. Now, this is an interesting story in Mark 9, because this man brings his son, who's demon-possessed. It says he's possessed by a mute spirit. And so he's demon-possessed. The disciples have been trying to cast this thing out. Nothing's happening. And so they bring Jesus onto the scene because they've been trying, nothing's happening. And Jesus says, you know, he comes onto this situation. He says, if you believe, all things are possible to those who believe. So they're looking at a seemingly impossible situation. This boy that has been in bondage for years and that nobody seems to know what to do to get him free. And Jesus says, but if you believe, all things are possible. And so I love the prayer of this dad, because he says, well, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And if more of us would learn to pray that, God, I believe you can do this, but what I'm looking at is starting to wear at my hope and my belief. So help my places of unbelief. Because sometimes when we're believing for something, what the evidence that we're looking at doesn't really increase that faith. It increases our disbelief that God can do anything. And so when we can pray and say, Lord, I believe, help the places where I'm not believing you. Please believe, help me. And then, you know, this is what believing for the impossible starts to look like. In the first instance I want to tell you about is a woman who had a demon-possessed daughter. And she knows that Jesus is the only answer for that daughter. So she runs after Jesus, and the disciples are so irritated by this woman that they're telling her, just, you know, telling Jesus, get rid of this woman. She's an irritation. She's driving us crazy. And he stops, and he starts, Jesus starts to have an interaction with this woman, and he says to her, you know, she's crying out, oh, Jesus, please help my daughter. Please help my daughter. And he says to her, is it right? I'm not called to help you. This isn't my mission. My mission isn't to help you. But is it, and she continues to cry out, and he says, well, is it right to take food from the children's table and give it to the dogs? Now, I want to tell you, if anybody had a chance of getting offended with the Lord, it would be that woman. She could have stepped back and said, did he just call me a dog? Like, what? I'm crying out for my daughter, and he just called me a dog? There are places where you will cry out for something, and you are believing God for something, and there's so many ways that the enemy will try to get you offended at God. That's what happens when we don't see our answer, when we are looking at an impossible situation. It is easy to start getting offended at God. Doesn't he care? Doesn't he see that I'm crying out? Doesn't he see the desperation of my situation? Why is he not responding? And Jesus, I believe that that wasn't an accusation or any place of degradation for her. I believe that he was calling out faith out of that woman. Is this right for me to do this? And then she looks and says, well, even dogs get what falls from the master's table. All right, if I'm a dog, then let me get a few crumbs, because I know that a few crumbs will deliver my daughter. That's all I need from you is a few crumbs. And he looks at her and says, oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. Let your answer come. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Why? Because she chose not to get offended with God, but she chose to continue to persevere in faith, believing for the impossible. And I believe there's people in this room right now, or those listening, that have had places where you could get very easily offended at God. And what would have happened had she gotten offended and walked away? Her daughter would have stayed in that bondage. But instead, she persevered and she said, I know what God can do. I don't care what you call me. I don't care what you say over me. I am going to contend for the impossible in my life and see my daughter delivered no matter what, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how bad God looks right now. I'm willing to continue believing. And I just want to stop and pray right now, because if that's you, I want to ask God to help heal your heart. because it's easy to get offended with the Lord. And so, Father, we pray right now for those that have gotten offended with you, those who have cried out and have felt like you've abandoned them, those who have cried out and felt like their prayers were not getting answered. I pray today for an increase in faith, an increase in faith, an increase in faith. And that, Lord, you will stir up faith, believing for the impossible in those who have gotten offended in you. And Lord, we just ask for your forgiveness for those places where we have gotten offended at what you said you were going to do and didn't do, or the places where it looks like our prayers are not getting answered. Please forgive us. Forgive us for ever doubting your power, your ability. And we want to stand hearing you say, great is your faith. Let it be done according to what you've asked. So God, we just stand today and say, Jesus, forgive us. Forgive us for where we have allowed the enemy to get us in a place of offense and not faith. In Jesus' name. And then there's another one, the disciples in this horrific storm. And I'm not going to be long on this story, but the fact is these guys were, some of which were professional fishermen, and found themselves facing a storm on familiar waters. At the obedience of Christ, they obeyed the word of the Lord, and they found themselves on familiar waters, but in a storm that they could not control. And their cry to God was not a faith cry. Some people say, if you don't say the right words, if you don't speak the right thing, you're not going to see it happen. Well, I don't believe that, because I'll tell you what, if my kids call me crying and going, I would say, what do you need? I will do it. That's the heart of a parent toward a child. I don't even care if you can ask me right. Just what do you need? So I believe that God hears our cry, no matter whether the words are right or not, because they don't cry out in a faith statement. They go, Lord, don't you care? We're going to die here. That's their big faith statement. Don't you even care? We're going to die in this boat. And Jesus gets up and speaks peace to their storm. And I believe that some of you have been in storms. Some of you have been in places where it feels like, gosh, these were familiar waters. I was doing what God asked me to do, and yet I'm in a storm. I feel like I'm going to die here. And I really believe that God wants to speak peace to your storm. And so if that's you today, I just want to pray a quick prayer over you. Lord, we just pray peace to the storm, peace to the storm that you are in, peace to that storm. And Jesus, I pray that you will increase the faith of those that find themselves in a storm that is so great, they feel like they're going to die in it. But we speak peace to that storm. Peace in the name of Jesus. Peace, God. And now there's also a man that was completely paralyzed to a mat. And listen, I've been this guy before. I have had situations in my life that have paralyzed me right to the mat. And if it wasn't for my friends carrying me to Jesus, I couldn't have made it. I went through cancer 10 years ago. And I couldn't have made it had I not had friends that would have carried my mat. I was paralyzed to the mat. And my friends fasted, prayed, stayed at the hospital through my whole surgery, praying, believing God for my healing and my health. They carried my mat to Jesus. But you know what? In every one of those friends' lives, when they've been paralyzed to the mat, I've carried them to Jesus. And I believe that's what relationships are about. Sometimes your situation will paralyze you to the mat, and you need your friends to carry you to Jesus. That's why church is so important. Some people, especially through COVID, it was like, you know, I like sitting in my living room in my PJs, I can watch church. But you're losing the value of community, because community are the people that will tear up the roof for you to get to Jesus when you're paralyzed in a situation. That's the beauty of church. I always say church isn't God's way of ruining your weekend. It's a build of your community so that when you are paralyzed to the mat, your friends are there carrying you to Christ. And they're going to storm heaven. They'll rip up the roof to get you into in the presence of Christ. And what happened in this man, he gets before the Lord, and the Lord's first words are, your sins are forgiven. See, repentance before the impossible. And so then they go, but, he says, but so you know that I have the power to forgive sins, I'm going to do something that's easy in my eyes. I'm going to heal this man. And the man gets up off the mat. So Jesus wants us to know that the greater thing is a change of our hearts. The other stuff is easy for him. It's his power to heal and restore. It's the change of a heart that he can't control because we have our own will. And so for him to forgive that man was more important than at that moment than seeing him get off the mat. And he says, the reason why I'm going to heal this guy is so you know I have the power to forgive sins. And so I will tell you, some of you have been paralyzed. And some of you have even walked away from the community of faith. And God's saying to you, you need to hold on to the community of faith more than ever because you all need people to carry your mat. And maybe you need to be a mat carrier for people. And so in Jesus' name right now, if you are someone paralyzed to the mat, I pray that, number one, your sins will be forgiven, but that, God, you're going to raise up people in supernatural ways, healing in ways we cannot believe because we are seeing you move. We know that's in your power. And, God, we thank you for people that are willing to tear up roofs to get us into your presence. And so even now I pray for anyone paralyzed to the mat in their situation, that God, you would do miraculous, do the impossible, heal, oh God, restore. God, we just pray for those that are even paralyzed to walk again. That God, those that have been paralyzed in their situation to come to life again in Jesus' name. And so faith is the full assurance in trusting in God. In Galatians, we see, and I'm not going to read all of these, but we have been crucified with Christ, so we don't live any longer the life we live. We live the life Christ can live through us. And so believing for the impossible becomes a way of life. We have to live as believers. We have to live in a way that pleases God, and we live in a way believing God no matter how bad the days get. And so in difficult, and I think there's a picture there, believing is engaging or acting on what the heart knows to be the will of God. That's what faith really is acting on what we know is the heart of God. So a leap of faith, a step of faith, is always going to be a step into the unknown, into the impossible. But we know what the will of God is. We know the will of God is for us to be healed. We know the will of God is for us to live and bear fruit. And so though how bad the situations get, we walk in faith, believing that God is going to be faithful to his word, because we know that the will of God is for people to be whole, healed, be fruitful for the kingdom. We know that. And so in Jeremiah, it says, behold, I am the Lord. I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? I just want to say to you today, it's important that no matter what you are facing, no matter what you are facing, that you understand all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. That you cry out to the God of the angel armies, the Lord of the angel armies, the power of God to heal and restore. And so when you're calling out to God, no matter how bad your circumstance looks, no matter how bad it looks, you stand saying to the Lord, this looks impossible, but I'm going to continue to contend for what I'm asking you to do here. I'm going to be a person of faith. Grady's going to come right now and share a vision that he had, and I want to have him share this, because this is what we've stood on, the God of the impossible.
Thank you, Christina. It's an amazing thing when we consider God, the God of the universe, and how infinite his life and power is. And one evening a number of years ago when we were we've been in Orange County.
Yeah.
And we were in Orange County, and we had an upper room prayer meeting, and we were standing and we were worshiping the Lord together. And as we were there, I was transported, as it were. And I know these kinds of things, these kinds of testimonies can sound really sensational, but it certainly was not a sensational experience. It was a very genuine encounter. And as I'm standing in prayer, suddenly I'm transported in the Spirit, and the Lord had me standing. I was literally suspended in space. And the light of the glory of God was all around me. It's not a light like these lights, and it's not a light like the sun, but it was a light that just, everything was light. And I knew that I was in the presence of God. And as I'm in this place, as I'm standing there in communion with God, I hear the God begin to whisper to my mind and to my soul. Basically, it was like a consuming thought and a consuming awareness that flooded into my soul. And as I stood there, I heard God say, where I exist, in my mind, in my kingdom, in my reign, in my domain, in my heart, in all that I am. And I'm using all those words because there wasn't so much one word as much as it was an understanding, a revelation, that where I dwell and where I am, the impossible does not exist. The concept of impossible has never entered my mind.
Yes, God.
It doesn't exist. And I'm standing in this place and I'm consumed because I have a pet peeve, and we talked about this. I have a pet peeve about the word impossible. I call it the I word. You know, the I word, the impossible doesn't exist. Impossible does not exist with God.
Amen.
And we are privileged to be called His people. And we are invited into a place whenever we worship, or whenever we kneel, or whenever we take a moment to turn our eyes and our thoughts and our direct our understanding and our spirit and behold Him, and we understand that we are in His presence. We live and we dwell in His presence. In Him we live and move and we have our being. And there's no moment, there's not a moment in our existence that with faith and by faith that the impossible even exists.
Amen.
And so I wanted to share that today because in these frail minds and in our human understanding, it's very difficult. But do you know that so many stories of where Jesus was drawing out faith and displaying, and He would say, if you can believe, all things are possible. And so I appreciate so much, Christina, that you said, if you're in this place, whatever place you're facing, and there are numerous examples.
Yes.
She could have chosen.
Yes.
Probably at least a dozen more.
Yes.
Whatever your I word, whatever your impossible situation is that you may be facing,
Thank you, Jesus. Recognize
it with God. That
yes,
does not
God.
Exist.
Yes.
He can lift an elephant. Mm-hmm. A man can lift an elephant, as it were. Mm-hmm. What did Jesus say? You can move a mountain.
Yes. Praise God.
You can move a
Praise
mountain
God.
And be cast into the sea.
Yes.
So my prayer for us today,
yes,
all of us here, is that God, you would open our eyes to the possible.
Yes, God.
To the possible.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that we would recognize that there is no such thing as impossible in your eyes and in
yes.
your kingdom and in your heart
yes.
and with who you are and who
Thank
you've
Jesus.
Called us to be.
Thank
in
you.
Sharing your life with us,
Thank
even
you.
In these bodies in which we live,
yes.
you're calling us to be demonstrators mm-hmm. of the kingdom, diffusers of kingdom life wherever we go.
Yes.
God, may we be people who walk in the possible.
Yes.
And may we do as Jesus did. May we go as Jesus went and said, behold,
Thank
I send you
Jesus.
Forth as lambs in the midst of wolves. Pray for the sick, heal the sick, raise
yes.
the dead, cast out demons.
Mm-hmm.
And behold, I'm with you always.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, may we be as the disciples who come back
yes,
into
God.
Your presence and say, God, we're rejoicing because we saw these amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
And we
you,
will
Jesus.
Hear you say, rejoice, I will rejoice. Rejoice in this, that your names are written in the book of life.
Yes,
God. God, let that be in every heart today.
Thank you.
In each and every one of us, I pray.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
And just as we finish here, I feel strongly to say, hold your impossible situation before the Lord. Hold your impossible, so you can hold out your hand and just put your impossible situation before God. And we just pray right now into that, that Lord, you would give us faith to believe that you are at work, that you will move mountains, that you will take our impossible places. And we believe for them. We believe for them. We pray, Father, that no matter what storms have come, no matter what place of darkness, no matter what assault that would tell us it's not possible, we bring our impossible before you. And we say, Jesus, you are the miracle worker, the provider, the healer, the restorer, the redemptor, the one who raises from the dead. And we stand today believing you, Lord God. And we bring our situation again before you. And we say, Jesus, move this mountain. Do a miracle here. And find in each one of us faithful, 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 faithful people. Lord, we thank you that you are the God of the impossible. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for letting us be with you today.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.